Now you can take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We're going to spend a little time, not a lot of time, but we're going to spend a little time talking through the concept of overcoming adversity through the faithfulness of God. You know, in the history of our country, we've gone through times of great challenge. In some respects, we're going through that a little bit right now. There's great challenge right now in our country, and there's a big challenge on unity, disunity right now. There's huge divide, ideological divide between really two different sides of the spectrum, and it's sad because we know. What the Lord wants for us, and we try to live by principles of Scripture, and we don't always get it right. But then there are folks that want to just shove Scripture aside, and they don't want to live through a life based on biblical authority. So there's a little bit of a divide. But you know, adversity comes in lots of different forms. It's not a respecter of persons. The righteous face hardship. You look in all throughout the Bible, and there's people that overcame great, great hardship throughout all of the Bible. Sometimes that hardship was self-imposed. Let's be honest. David, for example, he overcame a lot of hardship, but some of that hardship was of his own doing. Other hardship came from without, you know. But God was faithful in all of it. You know, just because you do something stupid and you have to suffer the consequences doesn't mean that God turns your back on you. Because He doesn't do that. God's faithful. He doesn't justify our sins as saying, you know, it's okay. The way He justified our sins is by paying the penalty for our sins on the cross. That was great adversity. The righteous face hardship. The faithful endure disappointment. God's people often experience loss, betrayal, sickness, uncertainty, and seasons when the road ahead seems dark. Boy, if I stopped right there, it would make it sound like the Christian life is pretty depressing. Can I tell you, it's not. Because God's faithful. The child of God has a promise that adversity does not have the final word. Isn't that a great thing? We are not defined by the worst day in our lives. I recently met a fate that many people have had of late in the technology industry. I got laid off about 3 weeks ago. And there's a little adversity there. I mean, my company's taken okay care of me. I mean, they gave me a severance package, but there's this uncertainty, right? Of, well, what's next? I mean, that severance package is going to run out, right? And so there's a little bit of tension not there of what's going to happen next. Now, fortunately, I've had some good interviews, and looks like we're close on a couple of things, and so it's going to be okay. But I never had a doubt as to whether or not it was going to be okay. From the very beginning, I knew God had all things under control. God's been very good to us. He's taken good care of us, and I have no reason to believe that He's ever going to stop, right? So I do ask you to keep me in your prayers as that God provides a job and that it will be one that will take care of our family's needs. Promises of Scripture have provided sweet comfort to me in many different times of life for that there's been adversity, right? He reminds us that when adversity comes, God will overcome. And when adversity comes in your life, if you but trust, do what the hymn that we just sang about, trust and obey. If you do that, God will take care of you. It's not that it's necessarily a cause and effect. He loves you and will bless you, and God will shine His goodness down on you. But you know, if you walk in communion with Him as closely as you can, as closely as possible, the fellowship will be that much sweeter. David writes in Psalm 37, the passage that you open to. In Psalm 37, this is late in his life. He's known a lot of hardship, a lot of adversity. He has seen danger. He's seen betrayal. He's lived through warfare. His own failures and the subsequent sorrow that came from that. He had fled from Saul. He buried his friends. He endured family turmoil. He saw his own son hanging from a tree with his head cut off. He walked through valleys that very few people could ever imagine. Yet through it all, David testified of the sustaining hand and the goodness of God. Amen. So let's read what it says. Psalm 37. Let's start reading in verse number 23. It says here, and you may remain seated. It says here in Psalm 37:23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for upholding us with your hand when we need you the most. We thank you for the promise in Scripture that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And when we delight in your way, you will be there to protect us and to guide us. I pray, Lord, that you would be with us in these next few minutes as we uncover what you have for us tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn to lean on you and to trust you, and that we would respond accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. So this passage teaches us how God helps his people overcome adversity. The first really big thing that we see here is that God directs the steps of his people. God directs the steps of his people. Psalm 37:23, the very first part of the verse says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." So the phrase "ordered by the Lord" means established, directed, and secured. This is a God-ordained path that God has laid out for him. The steps of a good man, or a good person, as some translations say. So adversity often makes us question, why is this happening? Where is God in all of this? Have you ever asked yourself those questions? You know, it's okay to ask questions like that. Another question, what's the purpose of this season? Have you ever heard the phrase, there's a reason for everything? Or there's a purpose behind everything? Such a trite thing to say, but there's a measure of truth to it. You know, this morning in Sunday school, we talked about how when Jesus was being scourged, great lesson this morning, by the way, when Jesus was being scourged and Pilate and Herod were examining Jesus, looking for any reason to do what the people said, because the people said, hey, well, let's crucify him. They're like, well, let's figure out a reason why, because we can't just say, okay, off with his head. We can't do that legally. And yet, in spite of everything that happened to Jesus, God had a purpose. He fulfilled his prophecies. Prophecies in Scripture, how that he was going to be beaten. Isaiah 53, you look at that, it's almost in detail what was going to happen to Jesus. And sure enough, it did, hundreds and hundreds of years later. All of those things do serve a purpose. You know, I mentioned Joseph. The life of Joseph. Joseph endured a lot of really tough things in his life. But God turned all of those things for good. There was a purpose. So, when something tough happens to you in your life, you know, God's got a purpose. He has a reason for that. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this. I mean, we probably, every one of us knows this by heart. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him." And what does it say? "And he shall direct thy paths." Romans 8:28 says what? For all things work together for good to them who are called according to His purpose. If you keep your eyes on the fact that God has a purpose for you and God has a purpose for your life and God has a reason for the things that happen to you that you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? God has a reason. It can bring peace in your heart. It doesn't necessarily mean it'll bring immediate answers, but it'll bring peace. Sometimes adversity is part of the path that God uses to do what? To strengthen your faith. To develop character. To deepen your dependence upon Him. To prepare you perhaps for a future ministry. Or to give you a better way of being a blessing to someone else who's going through the same pain that you're going through. Joseph endured betrayal, slavery, and imprisonment before God elevated him. Job, what a horrible story that was. But what a blessing what the end of the story was. Job lost wealth, his family, his health, and yet he discovered much deeper truths about God. Paul the Apostle suffered incredible beatings, imprisonment, persecution, yet he declared God's grace was sufficient. The adversity was real, but it was at God's direction that they could go through the adversity and come out victorious on the other end. So you may not understand a road or an issue or a problem that you're on today. I don't know what's going on in your lives. I really don't. I know what's going on in mine. But if I belong to Christ, if you belong to Christ, your steps are not just some random thing. God is directing your life. Listen, trust, and obey. So, second thing, God sustains us when we fall. Verse 24 says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The best illustration I could think of is, you know, when my kids were little and we're walking down the sidewalk or the street or someplace, you know, they're a little top heavy and, you know, don't have the greatest dexterity, we'll call it. And when they started to stumble, if I was holding their hand, I could just hold them up, right? And they would be okay. But if they left go of my hand, they fell down, they might skin their knee. Or their forehead or their elbow. But you know what? Even at that, I was there to pick them up. God's going to do the same thing. He's a much better heavenly father than I ever was as a dad. David did not say that the righteous never fall. He says, when you fall, you'll not be utterly cast down because God holds you up. Sometimes we fall down emotionally. Sometimes we fall down spiritually. Sometimes we fall down financially or physically or under the weight of deep discouragement. But God's never, never far away. Adversity can knock the wind out of us, but even strong believers have moments of weakness. But the promise is this: we are not utterly cast down. Over in Philippians chapter 4, one of my favorite verses of Scripture, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Then that's in chapter 3. In chapter 4, it says that the Lord is near. Let me just turn over there. I was going to just quote it, but again, I'm a little sleep deprived. So let me just read it to you. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse number 5. It says this. Finally, brethren, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Isn't that comforting to know that when it says the Lord is at hand? A lot of people read this and they say, oh, the Lord's return is at hand. Well, that's true. We don't know when or it's going to happen or exactly all the details around it. But that's not what it's talking about here. It's saying that the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. And what does he say here as a result of the Lord being at hand or being near? He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what a great promise this is. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When adversity comes, just know that God's near. Psalm 37 says, you'll not be utterly cast down because he upholds you with his hand. He is never not going to be right by your side. And there's great comfort in that. And he promises peace that we don't even realize why we have it. A peace that passes understanding. The picture here is of a loving father holding the hand of his child so that even when the child stumbles, he's not destroyed. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not thou, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What a comfort to know that God's grip is stronger than our weakness. Peter fell when he denied Christ. You remember that? Jesus restored him. David himself, time after time after time after time, fell into sin. But God restored him through repentance. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was writing about David, and he called David the apple of God's eye. Why can that happen? It's through God's restorative power and the truth that we're never cast out. The prodigal son fell into rebellion, yet his father received him home with open arms. Failure is not final when God's holding you. So adversity may wound you, but it doesn't have to destroy you. The Lord is able to sustain you through any valley you could ever find yourself in. Thirdly, God remains faithful through every season. Look at what it says in verse 25. It says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In any season that we're in our lives, I've been young and old, but I've not seen the righteous forsaken. This is a testimony of experience. David looked back over decades of his life and he concluded that God had always been faithful. Not once had he ever abandoned him. Not once had he ever abandoned his people. This doesn't mean that the righteous never suffer. It just means that God never leaves them alone in their suffering. Hebrews 13 verse 5 reminds us. It says, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So adversity whispers, God has forgotten you. You are alone. There is no hope. But Scripture declares otherwise. When Daniel entered the lion's den, who was there? God. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, what happened? Not only were they not burned, they didn't even come out smelling smoky. And then when the king decided that he was going to watch them burn because he was so angry at them, he peered over from a safe place and looked in and he saw a fourth person in the fire. Well, who was that? He was right there with them. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he did not leave and forsake Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on that day. When Paul and Silas sat in prison at midnight, God gave them a song. And God heard that singing. The same God who sustained them also sustains his people today. Sometimes we can only recognize God's faithfulness when we look backwards. But you know, at the moment, sometimes a storm can be unbearable. But later, after a storm goes through, a storm in our life, we realize that God provided strength we didn't know we possessed. Peace that we could not explain, just as it promises in Philippians 4. And grace sufficient to help us through any adversity or trial that we could ever have. So your current adversity, if you're going through something, you may not be. I don't know. But if you're not, someday you will. Reflect on adversities that you've had in the past. Adversity is not evidence of God's absence or abandonment. Often it becomes the stage upon which his faithfulness is revealed most clearly. Lastly, the fourth thing. God uses adversity to make us a blessing. Look at what it says in verse 26 again. It says here, for he is ever merciful and lendeth. His seed is blessed. Look at verse 28. It says, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." One of the remarkable truths about the adversity of God is that he uses brokenness to produce compassion. People who've suffered understand pain. They recognize the need in others, and they become channels of encouragement to other people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be God, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble." Your adversity may become someone else's encouragement. The person who suffers loss can comfort the grieving person. The person who endured financial hardship can help the struggling person. The believer who overcomes depression can minister to the discouraged. God, and as strange as this sounds, God never wastes pain, because he can use it for us to be a blessing to other people. Any adversity that you ever come through may become the testimony that God uses tomorrow to bless other people. Can I tell you something? Verses like this remind us of some very powerful truths. God directs our steps. Now, well, let's talk about steps for just a minute. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Let's talk about a couple things related to that. Where do we find that comfort? Spending time in the Word of God. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." When you get to a point in time where you're like, "I don't know what to do," turn to the Lord, read His word, pray, and He'll direct your paths. Then also, Psalm 119, 105 doesn't, and I think I mentioned this the last time I was here, it doesn't say that God gives you a spotlight to let you know what's way out in front of you. He gives you just enough light so that you can take the next step in the path that you're on. Sometimes that's what we need. We just need to trust the Lord to help us to make the very next decision. And then the next one. And then the next one. And the more we trust Him and the more we lean on Him, the more He continues to direct our paths. And the more that we stay on His paths, the greater peace and blessing that we're going to have from Him. It reminds us that God directs our paths. God sustains us when we stumble. And I say when because we will. God gives us grace and mercy. But you know what? Sometimes we beat ourselves up and we say, I can't be any good to God because 10 years ago I did whatever. That's not how God works. God doesn't work that way. He sustains us when we stumble. God remains faithful to us through every season. God uses adversity for His greater purpose. So the Christian life is not the absence of hardship. And we'll close with this. It is the presence of God in hardship. The greatest example of overcoming adversity is found in Jesus Christ Himself. Think of what He endured. He endured rejection. He endured suffering, betrayal, the cross, and death. But guess what happened? On the third day, He rose victorious over death and hell and gave us the forgiveness of our sin that we can have so that we can also spend eternity in Him. Through the resurrection, what appeared to be defeat became eternal victory. Because Christ overcame, His people can be victorious and can overcome. Romans 8:37 says this, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." No matter what adversity you face today or will face in the future, God is directing you, God is holding you, God is faithful to you, and God is not finished with you. Amen. What a blessing that is. What an encouraging truth. I hope this is an encouragement to you. I needed this. As I studied through this, I needed this. And I hope it was a blessing to you to know that God will never leave you and will never forsake you. The important thing is, we don't stop letting go. We don't stop holding on to His hand. If we let go of Him, we may fall down. He'll be there to pick us up. But it might be good to not fall down in the first place. If we just hold on to His hand. So we need to maintain our look and our eyes on Him. And that's going to be our invitation hymn tonight. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, number 326. That'll be our invitation hymn tonight. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart, you have something you want to do business with the Lord about today, the altar will be open. Feel free to come up right there in your seat, do business with the Lord. But it's good to know that God never leaves us, never forsakes us, and our responsibility is to never turn our eyes away from Him. So let's sing that number 326. Let's stand together as we sing, and if you need to do business with the Lord, please do so.